come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
That is the first sound of rock cracking in April of 2017. And as we have all kind of who's been surveilled and who hasn't, the White House, before the election, after the election, during the transition, all of that is going on. And we're going to get a little clip from Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, about that. But today, with rock splitting across Washington, D.C., and everybody in the press, the left-wing media, chomping at the bits to say how Donald Trump, President Trump, failed with his defeating Obamacare, repealing, and replacing it. But that's why we're talking today, because I believe it's given us an opportunity. And Doc Holliday is ready to talk about blockchain warrants. Did you get that? Blockchain warrants. What does that mean? Well, that's when you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because you won't hear it anywhere else. Now, just this past weekend, I wrote an article explaining, in the words I was given is about 650 words, but I put together what I call blockchain warrants to help be the solution to health care for the blue-collar worker. These are the folks who got out and worked hard for Donald Trump, many of them. And they are the ones who are being left out of these Republican bills to replace Obamacare. So, sit in your seats, and I know we got a lot of new listeners because they want to know what does a blockchain warrant mean and what can it do for America. What can it do for the low-income, middle-income, blue-collar, hard-working American family? Well, that's what this show is going to be about, and I'm going to try to explain that. And we'll, if you don't see a link, go to Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, and you can look that up, Tupelo Daily Journal, and look for the opinion pages on April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. It was. But I'm not trying to fool anybody. I'm telling you this is the best way to get a repeal and replace of Obamacare. And it should have Democratic support because it helps everyone who needs help. And we don't have to break the budget to do it. And it's through blockchain warrants. You got that? All right. We're going to talk about that on today's show. I'm glad you're listening. We're breaking ground like we do a lot of times right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And if you are coming to hear about blockchain warrants, stay tuned. But first, let's talk a little bit about, or let's let Sean Spicer, White House Press Secretary, talk a little bit what's going on with all this, who surveilled who, and Trump, did it collude with Russia, or is it a smokescreen, try to get him in trouble? Now people who are trying to get Trump in trouble are getting in trouble. Well, this is what Sean Spicer had to say at the White House when he's asked the question, what's going on, and the reporter trying to get something out of him, and this is what he had to say just last week.
If you actually go back, I was responding to, I was very clear that I said, based on what Chairman Nunez has said, I believe the following doesn't make sense.
Something that, so I'm gathering well, that's an important that you've learned something new since then, so please tell us what
right, and again,
learned.
No, because again, Major, I've commented on this both yesterday and today, that your obsession with who talked to whom and when is not the answer here. It should be the substance. In the same way that when you guys print a story with 18 anonymous sources, your obsession is the substance, it seems now that you continue to look at it from a backwards prism, which is, you know, what happened, who drove in what gate, who did they meet with, what were they wearing that day, as opposed to what's the underlying substance of this. Did something happen in the 2016 election? Did leaks occur? We are not going to engage actively in that kind of leaking that has been a problem. In fact, if you look at the Obama's Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense that is out there, Evelyn Farkas, she made it clear that it was their goal to spread this information around, that they went around and did this. And she said, quote, that's why there's so many leaks. They have admitted on the record that this was their goal, to leak stuff to, and they literally, she said on the record, Trump's team. There are serious questions out there about what happened and why and who did it. And I think that's really where our focus is, in making sure that that information gets out.
Well, for those who haven't kept up with what's going on about who spied on who, Chairman Nunes is head of the House Committee on Intelligence. And he saw some information. Somebody showed him some things that he said really concerned him. So that goes back who showed what and who and when, and the press is obsessed with trying to find out something about Trump and are not obsessed with trying to find out who was leaking before Donald Trump became president. And that's why you heard Sean Spicer talking about the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Ms. Farkas. She actually was on MSNBC on March the 2nd and talked about what he just said, that there was this drive to get information out before Donald Trump was inaugurated. And she said that. Now, did she still have her defense clearance? Well, we know that Hillary Clinton held her classified intelligence clearance for information long past after she left the State Department. Was that legal? Who let her to keep it? And, well, you know, when the Democrats are in charge, you just don't know what's going on. But I will tell you this. I do think everything's going to come out in the end. We're going to know. It might be 3 or 4 years from now. If Donald Trump had everything he wanted, could he dump it out now? Well, I think he's wise in making sure things come out. Just like Ms. Farkas, I said she mentioned that on March the 2nd. No one on conservative media has said anything. They didn't even know she had said it until almost March 26th, 27th. Almost a whole entire month went by. And what was the mainstream media doing? Let's hope nobody hears that. And don't ever say that again. Rushed her to the side, probably. I don't know. But I do know this. You're not hearing about Ms. Farkas on the mainstream media, at least not yet, as the taping of this show. But I do want you to understand that it's very important that if people committed crimes when Barack Obama was president and spying and getting intelligence on American citizens without warrants or with warrants, or what do we find out? Well, Ms. Farkas opened up some interesting information of what was going on by a lot of people in the heads of intelligence agencies, and we need to know the truth, and maybe a select committee needs to know the truth. But things like that should not happen in the United States of America. Spying on political enemies by Barack Obama, not him personally, but he allowed it. Did he allow it? Those are questions, like Sean Spicer said, what, who, where, why. Those are what needs to be answered. And on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics, we'll keep you up with what's going on with that. But now, take a listen to this and get ready for blockchain warrants.
Europe has lost an entire generation to economic stagnation. Social and economic inequality is at the highest level it's been since the Great Depression. In October, this month, Spain's youth unemployment rate is at 45%, 8 years after the crisis. Now, there's no silver bullet to fix the many problems that ail society. But why not start with where it all began? We have an opportunity arguably once-in-a-generation opportunity to reinvent financial services for a new era of trust and legitimacy.
Now, those are the words of Alex Tapscott at a TED Talk in San Francisco just last year, and he's explaining what blockchain technology is bringing to the forefront, and said we have a chance to sort of recreate how we do things. And he was talking about financial services because blockchain technology came about with Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency that you can use online. And I'm not going to get into Bitcoin, but that's really where blockchains come from. And to understand a little bit more about the revolutionary opportunity we have right here, let's listen a little bit more of Alex Tapscott at this TED Talk. And then, yes, I'm going to talk about blockchain warrants. And that's a term you won't hear anywhere else, but right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Now, the leaders of the industry today, many of the banks and others, have a choice to make. They can either do it themselves or have it done to them. Because we are entering a new era of technology. You've heard the expression, software is eating the world. Well, software is finally eating Wall Street. And the technology likely to have the greatest impact on the world of financial services for the next 20 years has arrived. But it's not big data, the cloud, robo-advisors, collaborative finance, or new entrants like Tencent and Apple Pay. It's actually the technology behind cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and it's called the blockchain. This technology will transform the industry, but it also represents nothing short of the second generation of the internet. So when you use the internet today to send and move and share information, you're not actually sending an original, you're sending a copy, and you're retaining an original. And generally speaking, that's okay. In fact, it's one of the great advantages of the internet is that we have this publishing platform that allows us to democratize information. Except when it comes to things that have value, like say money, sending a copy is a bad idea. If I give you $20 in payment for something, it's really important that you know you have it and I don't still have it. Because if I could send the same $20 to every single person in this room, the $20 becomes worthless.
Now, do you see a little bit better vision of what a blockchain warrant can do when it comes to healthcare and paying for healthcare? You got to have a way, a system of where people can know there's been a service done and it's been paid for, and it's not with cash, it's not with a credit card, it's not with American dollars. No, it can be done with blockchain warrants that exchange between a provider and a patient who needs health care. So I wanted to get a little twist of this from the TED Talk with Alex Tapscott. And so to sort of lay the groundwork, because I know most of you do not have a clue what blockchain technology is. So we're providing that groundwork. So right now, we're going to finish up a little more of the TED Talk. And then on the second half of the show, you will know what blockchain warrants are and how they can be used to help Americans all over the place. Wow, this is what we need. Because Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan's bill failed. It flopped. And everybody says it's over. President Trump said we're just going to let Obamacare explode and fall to pieces. No, we don't. We got a solution. It's called blockchain warrants and blue-collar health care amendment that can be added on even the Paul Ryan bill. I don't like it, but even if you added this amendment on and gutted a few things and added insurance being bought across state lines, it could become a very, very good bill and help the voters who put Trump in office. Now, let's finish up a little bit on the rest of this TED Talk so you can grasp a little more about blockchain technology and the way it's at the forefront of changing actually our civilization. And nobody's talking about putting the healthcare other than in records and spreading records. I'm talking about being able to have a system of payment without having to use tax dollars and tax money going in on the front end. Okay?
So it turns out it's great to have a printing press for information, but it's not so great to have a printing press for money. And this is a problem that cryptographers and technologists have been trying to resolve for years. How do you prevent this digital trail of breadcrumbs from accumulating every time you move information? Turns out it's difficult. And as a result, we rely on middlemen, intermediaries, to perform a whole bunch of important roles in business and society. And these intermediaries would be well known to many of you, banks, but also governments and big technology firms. And these intermediaries perform essential roles. They establish the identity of parties in a transaction. They create trust. They perform what's called the business logic, the clearing and the settling, and they keep records that can be validated by the counterparties in the transaction, by auditors, regulators, and other stakeholders. And they do an okay job, but they have some very serious limitations. The first is that they're all centralized. Anything centralized is vulnerable to hacking or to attack or to failure. This happens in the financial service industry as well as other industries.
And you can go on the internet and listen to the whole entire talk, the TED Talk. It's not that long, but it gives you a good basis of what is on the forefront. But just like Mr. Alex Tapscott was saying, how can you, just like you talk about financial services and the way blockchain can integrate that and revolutionize the financial industry, well, the healthcare industry needs it. And it can be applied with this amendment that I call the Blue Collar Health Care Amendment. And we're going to get right into it. But first, I got to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we talk about the biggest rock splitter of them all when Donald Trump won on election night and what he has done. And since then, trying to drain the swamp, and the swamp came back and slapped him in the face when the healthcare people said, but no, I think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, just like Alex Tapscott was saying, we have an opportunity to start over and get something right, and let's use blockchain technology. And as you think about that, don't let me forget to push my book. We got a book out called A Biblical Case for Israel. And you can order the book on my website. You can go to www.docholliday, that's holiday of two L's, .org. Doc Holliday, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y, .org. I also got the book called Bedrock Truths, written by Dr. Ed Holliday, Dr. Alveda King, and Dr. Alex McFarland. And what great champions both Alex McFarland is in recognizing the spiritual needs of this country. He's an evangelist that goes around, but he knows about politics going on. He was early on. He could sense that Donald Trump had something and really was a Trump believer before many evangelicals got on board. And Dr. Alveda King, if you saw on Fox News after the inauguration, during that week after, a month after, she was showing Donald Trump the African American Museum that's just opened up on the mall there in Washington, D.C. So great people, and I'm honored to have a book that's written by all three of us called Bedrock Truths. And again, you can click on the cover of that book on the front page of this website and go right to my website, docholliday.org, and you can order that book for you and a friend of yours. And that's one of the things that helps keep us on the show. But the great books, that the book on Israel, I did not write the book, I had a chapter in the book, but many, many great Americans have put that book together, Americans who love Israel and know what a hard role that Israel's had to play with the United States in the last 8 years, where we had a chief executive who did everything he could to oust the prime minister of Israel. We're complaining about Russia in our elections. Why didn't Israel complain about Barack Obama in their election? Wow. You remember what he did then, and we don't have time to go into it. But keep listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And right now, what is a blockchain warrant? Well, what does the warrant mean? Well, it's a act of payment. You can go in a dictionary. It can be a means of payment, means of a guarantee. And so that's what a blockchain warrant is, using new technology. And I'm trying, we've had some shows before about this, but it's really hitting home now. After Ryan, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan's bill failed, and it looks like the Republicans were just in disarray. They're not. Is something better ready? And this amendment, the blue-collar health care amendment, added to any of the bills they're looking at, I especially like U.S. Senator Rand Paul's bill. Now, you always get tongue-tied between Paul Ryan and Rand Paul. But Senator Rand Paul, the son of, you know, Ron Paul, who effectively ran for president, the father did, and the son did, this past time. But he is a physician, and he put together a dang good health care plan. And I think the only thing it lacks is this amendment needed for the blue-collar workers. So let's talk about this amendment. With blockchain technology, what we've just heard spoke about, and if you're not up to snuff, which I wasn't until trying to find a way to help the blue-collar worker get access to affordable health care. Now, a lot of Republicans like to say, free markets, let's just get rid of everything, start over. The thing is, it's like when somebody's got a broken leg and our health care system's been awful, they're having to pay for this Obamacare, all the taxes and everything that come with it. But what is it like if you got a broken leg? You can't just jump up and start running, not unless Jesus touches you and lays his hand on you. So what do you have to do? You got to wear a cast. You got to go through rehabilitation. And that's what we're at. We had a mess, and then we came along and put Obamacare in, and now we got an even bigger mess. So we're going to walk on some crutches. And I do not want a hardworking blue-collar Americans having to wait on health care and be worried. If you're a parent and you've got a child at 102 degree fever, you do not need to worry, can I afford to get my child in to be seen? And that's why we need this amendment called the Blue Collar Health Care Amendment. Because every worker, if you are working a full-time job, I know you love your family, and you need to be able to say, I've got to see the doctor. You got a mole that, you know, I don't like the way this thing looks. I need to go see a dermatologist. You got a child who needs to go in and see a specialist. Why should you have to worry that you can't afford it, or it might cost you everything that you've ever owned? Or then, you know, what kind of subsidies in Obamacare, where the rates are going up higher and higher and the deductibles going higher and higher? And what can you do? Well, what you can do is, number one, repeal completely Obamacare. Number two, replace it with, I like Senator Rand Paul's bill, but put in this blue-collar health care amendment, because these are the things that you start seeing about it. Number one, you got who qualifies? Well, if you got a low-income job, middle-income even, and there's some subsidies that you see in Obamacare, and I'd say you could even look at the limits, like $75,000 for, and this was in the Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan's bill, I think subsidies of some sort up to $75,000, and then also up to $150,000 for a couple, a family. But you can look at health care, and what we want to do is put together something. It's like wearing crutches, but you don't wear crutches forever. You get better. And this is why I want people to see that this amendment will help the working people who may not have high-paying jobs. It will give them a chance to take care of their families and not have the stress of wondering, can I take my sick child to the doctor? And this is what happens, though. Instead of government dependency, and hear me quick, all my conservative friends, it does not make government dependency permanent. It allows help and allows people to climb the ladder and build a health care savings account, HSAs. And as they build that up, they can use it for other things, and they can use it to pay for a health care plan. So the thing you need to know about blockchain warrants, they can be used by qualified workers. Three qualifications: you've got to have a full-time job, you must have a health savings account, and you must have a medical insurance plan. It could be a catastrophic plan with a $5,000 deductible. But however high your deductible is, that's how many warrants you and your family get. And the government doesn't have to hand out money. They provide the warrants, and then the warrants are used by doctors, clinics, hospitals, who will accept them. Now, there's two things you need to know. First, let's talk about the consumer, the family, the workers. What they have to do is the three things I just told you. Have a full-time job. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means all these restaurant workers who can only work 29 and a half hours at Hardee's or McDonald's or Burger King or any number of the restaurants out there, they don't want them full-time because then they're responsible for their health care. And Obamacare has just messed up so many lives like this. People having to have part-time jobs, two or three places. Sometimes you've heard of some workers having to sit in the back parking lot and check out, to wait an hour and then check back in so they don't get too many hours, and just wasting time, wasting productivity. And people wonder why America's productivity has gone down some. It's because of Obamacare. But now, getting back to what you need to understand, is it helps promote full-time jobs. Hey, you may have a hard time finding a job, but you can go to a fast food place and you can have a full-time job when you're working for something better. Yes, you can. And what happens when we have more Americans working? Well, the worker participation rate goes up. You know, the worker participation rate, meaning the percentage of adults, able-bodied Americans working, you know, the rate was like it was in the 1970s. And we had 94 million people that are working age who were not working during the Barack Obama years. If we want a country that can have a robust economy, some of those 94 million people need to be working. When you work, what happens? You make money, you can buy more things, economy runs better and smoother as consumers buy more things. And it also helps increase the number of taxes going into paying down our national debt. The more people you have working, the more money flows in because everything's going to be taxed. But it'll help the Social Security stabilization. It'll help pay get us, number one, cut our deficits and hopefully get rid of them, and then even have the ability to cut down on a national debt if we can get some congressmen who will stick to their guns. But that's why I'm saying the Blue Collar Health Care Amendment helps Americans, but it does not become dependency, because it's helping them create a health savings account, and they have to be responsible, and they have to buy at least a catastrophic medical plan. And you can't get warrants, you can't get blockchain warrants if you don't have those criteria. But it helps stabilize the American worker, provides health care and access to health care. Now, who in their right mind, we talked about the consumer a little bit, as far as a provider, which provider, who in the world would take a blockchain warrant? Well, if you got incentive, you would. I would say, number one, make the IRS put out some IOUs that they can hand out. And the IRS says, we'll give you IOUs for $1,000, meaning you can use that $1,000 IOU to say, here, instead of me writing a check, here, take this as my payment. Again, blockchain technology will make that possible. And And people go, well, if you're putting all these warrants out and doctors are taking those and hospitals are taking those, then isn't that going to increase our deficit and put us further in debt? Well, that's a good question. But what happens is you don't have to collect the money. You cut out all the middleman of the government. It goes directly. The doctors and hospitals can shell it out to their employees, the different kind of rewards. But it's something that will cut out the middleman. Remember what Alex Tapscott was saying. You know, it revolutionizes. You have to have PayPal and all these intermediary, middle people. You can cut all that out. Same thing with this health care. Think about all the paperwork that Obamacare is causing doctors and clinics to keep. Ask anybody that works at a clinic, is the paperwork more burdensome under Obamacare? Of course it is. Ask anybody at an emergency room. What we need is to be able to use the up to the deductible. A lot of health care can be taken care of without having to involve the insurance company at all because of blockchain warrants. And just think about the ease and the productivity. And you don't have to hire somebody just to do paperwork and paperwork and paperwork and punching codes and codes and codes. You can actually have doctors doing the work of a physician and consumers getting quicker, better, more efficient health care. That's what this is about. And why would doctors do this? Not out of a good heart. Of course, we want them to have good hearts. But they can get a way to pay the IRS. Nobody's going to get rich on blockchain warrants, not a provider or a hospital, because it won't do them any good to have IOUs from the IRS if they don't make money. So it's a part, it's to play a part in a system. And what it does, it helps get the Medicaid rolls down. People would rather get a job and work hard and get these blockchain warrants because it's a much better system than Medicaid. They can go see who they want to. Somebody will take the plan. And that's what makes this technology new and exciting. And I wish we could go deeper into it, but there's an article out there. I'll try to put more on websites. But this is exciting. When Donald Trump and the Republicans failed to get a replacement plan together, it is an opportunity. It's not a failure. It's an opportunity to get it right with new technology called blockchain warrants. You heard it here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics before you heard it anywhere else. Glad you're listening to us. We'll be coming back next week with another great show about what's going on in the world of rock splitting politics. Check out our Facebook page. We'll try some links and more about blockchain warrants. And I will see you next week. God bless you. God bless America.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.